Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. On this week's episode, Scott and I give our feedback on Black Lightning, which originally aired on the CW and is currently available on Netflix. If you're concerned about Scott's welfare after this segment, because of all the coughing, don't worry, he is still alive and still watching TV. After that, Dan casually suggests with the touch of a velveteen dandy fop that we watch Titans, which is available on HBO Max. And Scott might actually agree to become a juggalo to prevent a nuclear disaster. You're here, so let's get into it and find out what happens.
All right, we are back again to talk about Black Lightning, the show on the CW, also available on Netflix right now. And it's part of the DC TV universe, at the live action TV universe at the moment. And I'm here to ask Scott and Nyan. So, what'd you think?
Nyan, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. What I've realized in taking notes on the show Black Lightning is that despite the fact that I was a lighting designer for a while, I can't spell the word lightning. Like, I just kept misspelling it over and over again. It would be, it would be lighting, or I would something else. Like, I just can't do it. And what's great is this show is helping me spell. And I think that's pretty much why, like, if I understand correctly, that is the point of Black Lightning, for to teach people to spell better, because it does take place in high school partially. He is a high school principal, so
right. I can like, see that.
Well, again, you have to remember your ABCs: A, B, C, D, C, E, U. No, sorry.
Well, really, done, that's not how it goes. That sounds so familiar.
It sounds so familiar. Yeah.
Well, if you were a lightning designer, Nyan, that would be really impressive.
I mean, that's Zeus,
pretty much. Like you guys, you and
Russell Crowe. You mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Correct, Russell Crowe
is now playing Zeus in the MCU.
What? Russell Crowe is playing Zeus?
Yep.
It's cool that we keep letting him do things. Like, why do
and we're not John Oliver buying his jockstrap.
Oh, that is true.
Well, he gave it to like the last Blockbuster in America, right?
Right.
Isn't that the whole thing? So it's in like a Blockbuster video in Alaska now or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you guys follow the last Blockbuster on Twitter, but you should, because they are real funny. Or they were. They have an excellent Twitter feed.
Good to know. Anyway, Black Lightning, the TV show.
Tangent.
Cosine, bitch. I'm sorry. Are we done? We're not going straight into trigonometry jokes?
You have some strong trigonometry feelings. I had no idea. do you have any comments about the show, Nyan?
Okay. I've got a bunch. I enjoyed the show, and I think the problem with me is that I started to immediately compare it to the Marvel Netflix stuff, which I've watched more of, and because I haven't touched any of the Arrowverse, CW stuff, with the elitist approach of, well, I pay for Netflix, so it's automatically going to be better. You and your free CW shows, like, I can't deal with you, you low class ruffians. And that someone who has seen all of iZombie. So maybe I should just shut up. But
CW Seed.
CW Seed. When you really don't want to pay for anything, it's like we're showing good stuff there. There is weird. Like Hellcats is great. So I like the show. I just have a lot of random notes about it. Like, I like the feeling of it. The music is excellent. But it was a weird mix to it. Like, and I contrast it with Luke Cage, in that Luke Cage was so so well done in terms of all the music that was picked for it. I mean, the fact that all the episodes were named, of the first season at least, were named after Gangstar songs was amazing. but it pulled the music well. I liked that Black Lightning kind of took the, or at least the first two episodes took like a soul approach, which was awesome. There was just seemed to be a weird mix, and I don't know if it's Netflix, but like it didn't blend as seamlessly as I thought it would. It got better in the second episode, but the first episode, it was like, I love this music, but it feels jarring, but it found its place. And so that I thought was well done. The idea of a gang called the 100 Gang that wasn't led by Larry Wilmore, like, because if we're keeping it 100, why wouldn't, and it's the 100 Gang and they have the 100 Club, why wouldn't Larry Wilmore be involved? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So that was confusing. But I mean, it in terms of everything that happened, like, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed how stupid the cops were in that they tased Black Lightning at some point. Like, this is first episode stuff, so I don't feel like I'm ruining things for people. Like, but yeah, why would you tase a guy named Black Lightning? Like,
well, these people clearly, these cops there have clearly never played RPGs and don't understand elementals and how, you know, they, you know, I think there's a real problem there. This is why RPGs need to be taught in schools, apparently.
I know that you just upped his hit points like 9999. Like, this is ridiculous.
And he was already pretty high to begin with.
That is true. He was pretty high.
And you're trying to go in there, you know, as you know, a couple of would be thieves and paladins at a 15 level HP. Come on.
I mean, I've got more to it, but Scott, I don't want to jump too far in because I've got a bunch of random notes here. Like, were you digging it as well?
Yeah. Although when they talk about the gang being called the 100, I, of course, went to the TV series The 100, also on the CW, also recommended. So I was wondering why there were no, like, you know, teenage criminals running around in that. Although there kind of are, I suppose.
So many criminals.
Yes, but not from space. Not from space.
We know of.
We did not grow up on the space station that we know of. But if they start saying "go float yourself," then we know that there's been a little bit of crossover here.
That kid who won't take his backpack off might be from space. Like, did you notice that kid who just will not take his backpack off? Mm-hmm. Like, he's commit. Like, he showers with that thing. Like, that is nuts.
Which kid is it?
One of the guys in the 100 is wearing a backpack in both the club scene in the first episode, and then in the parking lot scene I think it's the second episode. I'm pretty sure it's not in the first. And like, he's just always wearing the same backpack all the time. He is literally the Linus of the 100.
Yes.
It is so random.
I can't imagine that you'd be carrying product around with you all places like that. I can't imagine you'd be doing that. Right? Not that much, at least.
Trying to think back to The Wire. Blywise, would they have done that in The Wire? Would
I would
have been carrying product?
They're, I think, more in The Wire, they're more surreptitious about their product. Like, they wouldn't just have it in a backpack that's visible.
That's true. So. You'd have to, you pay the money to like Poot, and then you go around the corner and get the product from Wallace.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. They'd like, you know, take it out of like the corner of a building, like inside a broken, you know, a hollowed out window or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed the show as well. It was an interesting approach, I think, kind of jumping in without going through the origin of Black Lightning. Like, and I have not read the comics or anything like that. So you just kind of, he has his powers already, like when the show starts.
That's, I love that. Yeah. Because I get so bored with origin stories at this point in my life.
There have been a lot. That's true. Although I wonder, and of course I've only seen two episodes, maybe they'll go in more into that later in the series. But yeah, it's like, you know, kind of, but even with that, even though they approached it that way, it was, at least I was still able to kind of pick up on it and follow along. And once he's, you know, he made his debut as Black Lightning, then you got a sense of like what his powers were and why, you know, a little inkling as to why he stopped being Black Lightning. And then, of course, why he starts to do it again.
I loved seeing villains use piranhas to murder people again. Because I feel like that's something people gave up on so long ago.
Like, that was a James Bond 1970s thing.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Venture Brothers where they talk about not piranhas, but the candiro, like the fish that will swim up the stream of your urine and like eat eat your urethra, but that's different. So I don't feel totally like different. You get I think the Dr. No, like, piranha stuff is the last time I can think of random piranha killings.
So we need to make t-shirts that say make piranhas murder weapons again.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Noted.
Thank you. And also, if you could do like a hoodie as well, I would appreciate
it. Yeah.
Thank you. I always appreciate a good hoodie.
Nine, it's interesting that you mentioned the Marvel MCU Netflix shows, because I watching Black Lightning reminded me of Daredevil. It seemed like those were kind of similar plot lines, right? Like a vigilante superhero trying to bring justice to like his hometown, you know, his
community.
Like, yeah, like, you know, old stomping ground, so to speak. That was kind of cool.
They didn't murder anyone named Dan Fisher early on.
True. Yeah.
Which yeah, Daredevil did. I actually like this better than Daredevil.
Yeah. The series did, not the character, just to be clear to everybody.
you like Black Lightning better than Daredevil?
Yeah. It was like, I made a, like a, an equation, like, Daredevil, Luke Cage is better than Black Lightning is better than Daredevil, but Luke Cage is better than Black Lightning. Like, I didn't not like Black Lightning, but I like Luke Cage better. It's something I'm still interested in watching all the way through. I mean, there was like the kids like involved, like the daughters are awesome. Like they're interesting storylines there. Mm. Like there's really? Like depth of character, I think. I mean, I realize I'm saying this after just two episodes, but like these kids are interesting. They have no respect for plumbing, but they're interesting. just tearing apart sinks. No. I think I'm trying not to give too many spoilers away, but like the fact that, the Seahorse Motel itself just gives seahorses a bad name. Like, I feel like that the abuse of, if you're into seahorses, this is a good show for you. And I have to ask, wasn't Lala an MTV VJ? Because there was a villainous character named Lala, and I could have sworn there was an MTV VJ also named Lala. Are they related?
And there's also an anime called A Fancy Lala.
Oh, God, it all comes together.
There's also La La Land, the movie.
Truth.
Oh, right. No, I'm sorry. I think you're talking about Moonlight.
Oh.
Not quite.
Well, I mean, but Moonlight actually won the best picture as opposed to La La Land.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was like, well, because the word, I was thinking the word light is in this, like lightning.
Oh, right.
Moonlight.
No. Oh, no. I was totally slamming the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
Is this when I say, it's okay. I'm going to let you finish. Sorry. Award shows throwbacks now.
I appreciate it.
I mean, and they really kind of were taking the Black Lightning episodes we saw were really just going focusing on, like, you know, police brutality against Black people, which, you know, trying to relate it to things going on in the real world, probably when the show was being made, which is pretty cool.
It's funny because it premiered on January 16th, 2018. So it actually was, you know, before the big, you know, craziness of 2020. But, you know, definitely it was already ramping up at that point. So it's almost as if, like, you know, life imitated art in this case, although really art was still imitating life anyway, as it should. So it's like it's a kind of crazy cycle there.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really new. Like, it's been going on forever. It's just.
Yeah,
I mean, I appreciate them bringing it to the forefront. Like, I think,
yeah,
I think
folks in a TV show, or like, especially in like a comic book based, like, you know, superhero TV show.
Yeah, I'm glad they're calling it out. I mean, it's been going on for too long. There's no reason to go around it. It's BS.
So can I ask you guys a question? So, mm-hmm. So one of the things I like about this, and tell me if you feel the same way. Basically, do you feel that superhero shows that also layer in aspects of reality provide a stronger user emotional experience?
I find they do. I think that's why, to me, well, I guess, and I'm hoping I'm understanding your question correctly. That, yeah. To me, that's why Luke Cage worked well. Mm. Sure. I felt like there was a lot of humanity in that.
Yeah.
And I think that worked. That's why Jessica Jones worked well. Just with the, you know, with the, yeah, I felt like that's why a lot of the, I'm one of the, like, I'm like the only person who didn't hate Iron Fist.
I actually did. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was as horrible as a lot of people seem to think it was.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with it. Like, I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world, but I recognize there were flaws there. Like, yeah, it was the, sure. I thought it was the weakest of that, of all the MCU stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I absolutely do think that, including that human element and sort of that human frailty as part of the, you know, the story makes it more interesting. It makes it deeper because, like, I think that's why I've never been into Superman, in that it's for, like, by and large, and I realize there's probably a depth of the universe that I'm missing completely. That by and large, he's just a dude who flies around, punches things, melts things, and everything just works out for him at the end of the day. I know there's more to it than that, but mm-hmm. that's what it was for a long time. So I think adding the human frailty element, or just the human element generally, when you come to these, when it comes to the superhero genre, it's super important and super mm-hmm. makes it absolutely more interesting.
And Scott, I think speaking to the Superman point, I mean, how would you say Smallville brings into that, and for that matter, the new Superman and Lois series?
Well, I haven't gotten around to the Superman and Lois series yet, but Nye and I was going to say you should watch Supergirl. Speaking of CW, you know, DC comic shows,
Supergirl, pay for it, though.
What's that?
It feels beneath me because elitist. I don't pay for it because I'm an elitist. but go on.
Thank you. Try to see if you can put that aside for this particular show. I think that's something it does so well. And yes, it goes beyond just this is a super person who's invincible kind of aspect or kind of slant to the stories, and really brings in a lot of real world issues and current, like, social issues into the show pretty much every season. And I think that's one of the reasons that it makes that series so compelling, as compelling as it is, because I think that's what has helped create or sustain these comic based movies, is that it's not just, you know, kind of untouchable heroes and, like, diabolical villains who just want to, you know, take over the world. It's that they are rooted in real world issues and real world, you know, challenges that people are facing. And Supergirl for one does that very, very well. And I can see that Black Lightning seems to be heading in that direction.
Oh, totally.
Although I will say one thing that I thought was not done the best is, in the first two episodes, where, like, the Jefferson seems to be resisting becoming Black Lightning again, but you know he's going to become Black Lightning again, because if not, there wouldn't be a show. So it's like, why even bother, like, trying to create suspense around the fact that, yeah, maybe he will, maybe he won't become Black Lightning again? You know he's going to become Black Lightning.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people always talked about, you know, the whole secret identity thing. You know, Batman, obviously, Superman, obviously, both deal with this kind of thing all the time. And I think it's one trope, I think, that, you know, that it needed to be said, because obviously identity protection is a big thing for a lot of people. Like, not everyone is like, I am Iron Man kind of thing. You know, yeah. not everyone is going to be like that. And, you know, and there are, I think that's part of it, but I think that that is a good point criticism on that, though.
And I think the MCU, that I read in an article, they made a conscious choice that they didn't want to do the whole secret identity thing. They thought that, like, you know, having basing some storylines around characters trying to, like, protect their alter egos was something that had been done too much, and they didn't want to have to deal with that. But in the DC shows, that is still a big part of most of the shows and most of the superheroes.
And I think it works with, and helps support how much old people love Black Lightning. Like, every old person in those first two episodes loves the shit out of Black Lightning.
They
like,
do.
My God, they love him. Like when that guy, when he's walking into like the apartment building, like, and the doorman is like, "Oh my God, Black Lightning, you're here." Like, I was like, I'm so glad. Like, I want old Black, just, I don't know if later seasons Black Lightning becomes like an AARP spokesperson, but I feel like he's on his way there. Like, he starts selling life insurance. Like, old people love Black Lightning so much.
It's funny you mention that, because if you haven't noticed during some of the commercials for CW, they do a lot of like, targeted ads, basically, where the show or people from shows basically advocate against, say, you know, smoking or vaping or whatever the case is, anti-violence kind of thing. So they do those little spots and promos, and they kind of try and tie in, you know, mentions of the superpower, be quick about it and stop vaping or whatever it is, you know, for the Flash or whatever it is. So yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's interesting actually, because this is one of the few shows I can think of on the CW where the main character is like an older person, like not a teenager pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. I've known about that. That was one of the things that kind of killed me. It was like, how old is he? He does not look old, but his former students have teenage children.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Does he have Benjamin Button disease? I didn't watch Benjamin Button, so I don't know. I just assumed Benjamin Button had lightning powers. Like, I don't know how that works.
That's in the sequel.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to make sure to watch the sequel.
And the famous line from that one, from the sequel, of course, was "Don't press my buttons."
Yes, that was one of the key lines.
Yes. I was so impressed.
And then afterwards, Kevin Hart comes out as a sidekick, right?
Oh no, it should have been Little Rel. Oh my God, it's nuts. It's nuts how like he just does not age.
Yeah,
and neither does Dexter's dad.
True,
because we haven't talked about Dexter's dad yet, who's now a tailor,
yeah,
and just hangs out by dumpsters finding bodies. Like, this is like some hardcore. Dan, does Dexter show up? And like, is there a moment where he's like, "I thought you were dead"?
that would have been amazing. No, but I like the Taylor reference though, because it's very like Kingsman kind of.
There you go.
Of tie in there for me. It was like, cool. Oh, he's a Taylor. Interesting.
I have not seen
Kingsman. Clothes don't make the man.
He is a tailor who has like high tech equipment in his basement.
Yeah, and for those of you who've watched Invincible, like all tailors, you know, there's another one there too.
Scott's dying, guys.
Don't worry.
Really upset when we talked about Kingsman. It's just the whole Miller universe. Mark Millar.
Turn your head and cough.
Yeah, was he getting a prostate exam? That makes sense. That's what I would do during a podcast recording.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Most doctors
we're live from my doctor's office. this is going to be a funny like outtake to kind of clip out later.
Okay, yeah. Just keep it in. Like,
the man with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle.
And that's why we were so happy that Black Lightning got along so well with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
So, Scott, you missed a whole discussion about Black Lightning's ex-wife. Conclusion, she's great. I assume they get back together. I don't know what's going on. I don't get along this well with my ex-wife, so I don't understand what people do. So this is strange to me, but good on you, Black Lightning.
Well, I assume they're doing a love triangle between the ex-wife and his like vice principal or whoever that whatever role that other woman has.
Oh yeah, maybe Dexter's dad.
You never know.
Oh, so I guess. Sorry, never. Let's just skip over that part.
So, do you guys have any other thoughts? Because that's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was an intriguing start to the series, and it seemed like it kind of has some of the elements that I've liked from other CW, like DC Universe shows. I agree with you, Nyan, that the both of the daughters are kind of interesting characters so far.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good choice, Dan.
All right. So that's what they thought, everybody. All right. We are here talking about the comic book series based TDC series Titans. This was released in 2018, and a second season 2019, and a third season coming August 2021. Very much wanted to been. I kind of watched this as it came out. Actually, I started a little bit late in season one. Than when it came out, basically. But right after that, I kind of topped right on that and whatnot. So for those of you who know, the executive producers, or a lot of these are alums and or work on directly with the CW DC properties. So you'll see, Jeff Johns, Greg Berlanti, Sher Schechter, Akiva Goldsman, they all kind of have, work there. And they also all shoot in Toronto, just like a lot of other places do. So a lot of places are either shooting kind of either in Toronto and or BC, depending upon which DC kind of a city they're kind of focusing in on. So it's kind of interesting how Canada fits those molds now. It's kind of funny. But any case, it kind of, a la Teen Titans, and the other younger series, basically. This focuses on the younger generation, or the younger members, or the younger superheroes as it relates to everything here. So the protagonist is actually the one, the only Dick Grayson and whatnot. But you do see a whole bunch of other characters that come into play that you probably would be familiar with if you either read comics, or you watch one of the other animated or other related properties or whatnot. So it's but I think for me, what I like about Titans is that it's focusing on kind of the younger adults, if you will, of everything, but it has a little bit of more of a gritty nature to it. So so it's not really as kind of, I would say, made for TV, a la like kind of the DC TV universe is, and it's not just animated stuff and whatnot, and I think that I like the grittiness is kind of where I'm going with this. So it starts off. So those of you who don't know, the progression of Dick Grayson as a character, he does get adopted by Bruce Wayne, aka Batman, and he basically becomes Robin. And then basically he then later, created his own subgroup called the Titans. And basically this is following kind of the Titans 2.0, if you will. And that's kind of where the series kind of propels into. And there, because, you may or may not know the context of what happened prior to this, when the season's kind of, the series starts off, it kind of is a very interesting kind of unraveling of not just what is currently happening in the series, what is going to be happening in the future, but it also kind of unravels a little bit from people's past as well as kind of what led them up to their current levels or whatnot. And so I think that's kind of what really drew me and kept me in the series is that kind of premise, is that it's very character driven. There is pretty decent action, in my opinion, but because it's so character driven, there's a lot of psychology involved. There's a lot of I think pretty accurate portrayals of this a struggle between maintaining one's own personal persona versus what your proverbial superhero persona is. And so I think there's a lot of that thematic, but there's, again, for me, it's just way grittier and way darker in a lot of different ways. And so that's kind of what really kind of drew me in and kept me in the series in that regard. An interesting tidbit, I'm going to just throw this out there, but for those of you who watch Doom Patrol, there is kind of a little bit of a crossover in there in the first season on episode 4. So it is, there is kind of like a bit of a, you know, kind of a walkthrough here and there as it relates to everything, which I thought was really, really neat. Cause I end up watching, and I'm starting actually both Doom Patrol and Titans at the same time. So I was playing catch up and watching both at the same time, basically. So that's how, you know, I kind of got drawn into this, because this was already aired on DC Universe before that became defunct, and it's now on HBO Max, as I mentioned. And so that's just very interesting how, you know, this kind of existed kind of in its own world in some ways. And then it was interesting how that they all, this kind of sub-universe of DC TV end up showing up in the CW universe at a later time as well, in one of the crossover episodes. So that was pretty neat too. But yeah, but that's what kind of really drew me to this. So, I'm here to answer any and all questions that it relates to this right now.
So is it fair to characterize this as DC Muppet Babies?
Well, they would do the same for you, I think. In all seriousness, basically. There are little quips and jokes and whatnot that happen in here, but I think it's definitely more, in my opinion, suspense and drama driven. And there's some, like I said, some super, super dark elements in the series. And especially when you get to season 2, I think there's a lot of really, really dark stuff that goes on. And I think the season 3 is going to be, it could be the darkest one yet to come, possibly. So we'll have to see. But I do appreciate the ref.
So is the... Are the characters supposed to be like younger versions of what they appear as in other DC stories?
Yeah. So some of the characters that you get brought into this. So there some of these people have not yet kind of reached certain levels, basically. So to contextually, to talk a little bit about this, basically, is that they. So, for example, Dick Grayson in the comics, what happens here, he is is on his way out as being Robin, basically. So he's not yet transitioned to his new persona that some DC people out there may know. But he still is Robin at the moment, but he's in kind of doing his best to kind of move out of the shadow that is Batman, if you will. So he is, you know, he is older. He does actually have actual gainful employment and separate income, and is not under the Wayne umbrella, if you will, anymore.
Is it trapeze related income?
It is not trapeze related income. No,
that's weird. Wait. So what does he do? Does he work at a laundromat?
He does not work in a laundromat. No. He actually is in law enforcement, believe it or not. In the series, so it's very interesting to see. Like I said, this is
he's a kind of a cop.
He's a detective, believe it or not. He's like one of the youngest detectives in his force, basically. But yeah, it's very interesting. Eventually, you know, he does transition into his new identity and whatnot. But he kind of sees himself as kind of he is kind of like the leader in some ways, but he kind of doesn't want to. He wants to be as far from Batman as possible, basically. And so he's constantly struggling with that, for example. But everyone in the series, I think, has their own little way of grappling with their past and their personal identities and whatnot. And you do get introduced to some of the other people in the show. So you do see basically the. You see, you know, Gar, you do see, Wonder Girl, you do see, and eventually, you do see some pretty hardcore villains as you go on through the series as well. But it's really interesting to see, how, like I said, this Titans 2.0, if you will, from the original Titans, kind of groups and comes together, to basically fight, the big bad of the first season, basically, before they move back on to the second season, unraveling something, kind of an older villain and bringing back an older villain into the fray. So it's, like I said, I think there's a lot
of worth to the series. You know, I think that, you know, that, like I said, I pitched other, you know, previously I pitched Black Lightning, you know, from the CW, and saying that there has its own kind of little, you know, approach or kind of, you know, bent on things basically. And this one has theirs as well. And I think for me, this is like, it's darker, it's grittier. And that's kind of where it really kind of, you know, jived with me.
And is it, will you still be able to follow along if you're not familiar with a lot of the characters and their backstories?
I think so. Yeah. That's an excellent question actually, because you might not, you know, they kind of explain or they visualize, like, you know, people's abilities and or powers or whatnot over time. So I think you do kind of understand, you know, who these people are. They may reference basically who they're associated with. Obviously, you know, Dick mentions, you know, being, you know, under, you know, being working with, you know, with Batman or whatnot. And, you know, you'll see people say, you'll see Wonder Girl, AKA, you know, she'll talk about Diana. And so if you know basically the main, you know, proverbial, you know, super friends kind of people, you kind of will have a good understanding of where a lot of these other characters kind of play in.
Cool. And most importantly, does Lego Batman or Lego Robin ever make an appearance?
No, but yeah, unfortunately, no. But I mean, the person who actually plays Bruce Wayne, he doesn't. Unfortunately, you don't actually see him. I think until season two, actually. But the person they cast in it is quite interesting. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's no Lego Batman, but still, I am intrigued.
How would you rank this versus the Marvel versions of this? Which I'm assuming are like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, et cetera, that old Defender series from Netflix.
That's a great comparison, actually. So, I would probably put this in kind of the Jessica Jones kind of area. Because also, I mean, Jessica, you know, she's very much a reluctant hero, if you will. And she doesn't want to be the hero. She just wants to live her life, do her job and drink, and screw on occasion. But I think that it's definitely more along those lines. There's a lot of psychology involved. It's very gritty. It's very dark. And so I think it definitely put it all along those lines. You know, and for me, I say Jessica Jones as opposed to the other ones, and, you know, in a lot of ways, because, you know, Daredevil focuses a lot on his, he does have a lot of grittiness, a lot of emotion, but they also do focus a lot on his development of his super sense, and, you know, having a lack of actual of eyesight. Whereas this series, basically, it's a little bit more. I'll call it more angsty. I'll call it that. It's not quite, you know, join the Black Parade emo kind of level. For some of the characters, mm-hmm. some of the young guest characters, it may seem a little bit more like that. But they do try and do a decent amount of balancing here to not sound super whiny, but at the same time, a 15-year-old dealing with a kind of a situation, a near-death situation, is going to be a lot different than if, say, a 25-year-old is dealing with the same situation in a lot of ways. So I think that, you know, they're trying to basically, you know, ground things and situationally and on a character perspective, basically, and how they relate and how they kind of go through these different items. So
I guess one of my final questions would then be, and you've talked a lot about the show, the structure itself, but why should Scott quit his job and stop talking to his family and dog to watch just this show? Like, what is kind of the one thing that should make him give up everything he's ever known, go into the desert and just watch this show for the rest of his life? Which, by the way, Scott, you're doing, if Dan can come up with a good reason.
So what I would basically say is this. Because as of this recording, there is little to no chance we're going to see much more of Snyder being involved with DC in the cinematic universe perspective. And I have my own doubts about what J.J. Abrams might bring to the table with his interpretation of what people affectionately call as the Hamadaverse. I find that this, you know, not ever CW, the DC CW shows are not for all people, I would say. Whereas I think that people who long for something that's, you know, a little more gritty, I would say, you know, Marvel is almost kind of like, it can be gritty in some places, but I'd say on a cinematic universe perspective, or even like the newer Disney Plus shows, there still is a, what I would call kind of a sparkly element to them. Whereas I feel like that this is almost a little bit more real. In some ways it is, they are superheroes per se. But I think there is a realness to the character interpretation that really comes through this. And I think that, you know, the reason why you should watch this is because we're not going to get something that's comparable in kind of its approach and its mindset. I think you kind of have to sit down and watch all this, because we don't know when you're going to get something that's comparable. And on a secondary perspective, where else are you going to see fine-ass Minka Kelly in a show? Mm.
Just well, there you go. Well, so basically what Nyan is saying is I should go to Burning Man and watch this show.
Yeah.
While I'm there.
Of course. Oh, and then watch The Man Burn.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, Dan, what episode?
Don't join the Insane Clown Posse afwards. That's all I say.
Yeah, I think that's I can work with that.
You make a great juggalo. Let's be real.
Yeah, I don't think so. So which episode should we watch?
Yeah, so again, you know, just like I said before, I think, you know, it's good to start off from the beginning. The first season, basically, so you probably could catch it up in maybe the second or the third episode, but you might miss some. I mean, they do have like the, you know, in the previously on Titans kind of thing at the beginning of the episodes, but I think, you know, you really need to see the first one kind of gives you a good kind of, you know, intro into everything. These kind of run that 45 minute or so time run on it, basically. So the first one definitely, you know, kind of gives you kind of a brief overview of where things are going. Some of these seasons go into kind of more individual backstories. So the second season goes into another pair of people, and the third episode is literally called Origins. So I think going through one and two I think is sufficient to get it kind of the feel of the show. And then as you go on, basically, like I said, you know, third episode is Origins, fourth episode is the crossover with Doom Patrol. And then, like I said, there's a couple of additional backstories that show up in the remainder of the first season, and then the second season kind of deals with kind of more, I would say, the solidification of the Titans ensemble, if you think of it that way, on an overarching big picture perspective.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of looking forward to checking it out, and I'll probably get sucked in because I love Doom Patrol and I want to see where Doom Patrol works into this. So, sounds like a plan. Word. I'm going to check it out.
Word.
Word. Well, we tried. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. Please join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on iTunes. Or if you didn't listen to this on iTunes, please complain about us on your social media platform of choice. Good night, everybody.